This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes I forget to breathe during days like this in sports. When my mom texts me, I reply, "I don't have time, Mom. We'll talk soon. Not Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday of the weeks during the fall, and certainly not during October." So the hours kind of, they pile up pretty quickly when you've got four baseball games and a football game. But I was working on my notes all afternoon and into the evening, so I didn't fall behind, which was good. Sometimes I'd rather just sit there with my feet up and stare at the TV screen like an average fan, like a normal fan, whatever normal means. But tonight I was disciplined. Today and tonight I was disciplined and able to get my notes done as I went. So maybe I'm breathing now, trying to keep all of the details together. It's been fun to talk about everything with you on social media. And now I would love to take your phone calls. 855-212-4227. It's our toll free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So we're within an hour left of our Monday MVP poll. So you can find that on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or you can just find moi on Twitter. It's also on our Facebook page. And even though I haven't had a chance to talk much about the Browns, I will. We talked more about the Niners' performance on Monday Night Football. But coming up in 15 minutes, you'll hear from Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield about their performance. And I mean, let's just be honest, it was the worst performance of Baker's professional career. It doesn't mean he's not meant to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Doesn't mean the team isn't going to have a winning record. It doesn't mean they're finished. It doesn't mean any of those things. There's no need to overreact to it, but it certainly is what it is, his worst performance as a pro. And the team now falls below 500 again. And I think it underscores the fact that you don't just snap your fingers, change your roster, and expect to win. No, there's a steep learning curve, especially in the NFL. Yes, teams go from worst to first every year, but that's not the norm. It takes time to build something. It takes time to learn how to be a winning football team, especially when you haven't been a winning football team for a long time, especially when the franchise has made drastic changes on both sides of the football and to the coaching staff. And the Browns have undergone this incredible facelift. And so it's going to take some time. Again, considering there's a rookie head coach who's learning on the job himself, I feel like the expectations maybe were a bit too high going back to the preseason. What do you think? I want to know if your opinion of the Cleveland Browns has changed since they kicked off the season. Now 5 weeks in, what do you think of the Cleveland Browns? And what do you think of the Niners? If you didn't know, now you know. The Niners are back, baby. All right, so find us on Twitter or on Facebook. And again, the phone number is 855-212-4227. This is kind of weird, but it happened because we lived it. Seconds after we got off the air on Monday morning, so our Sunday night into Monday morning show, seconds after that, the news breaks all over social media that Jay Gruden has been fired as the head coach of the Washington Redskins. You know what's crazy is I literally wrapped up my show. Fourth hour, Monday morning, it would have been 5:50 Eastern time, 2:50 a.m. Pacific time. The last thing I talked about was Jay Gruden. And I play the audio bite of him talking about, "I'll show up to work, and if my key works, then I'll continue getting after it, and I'll start to game plan for Miami." But at 0-5, he also could see the writing on the wall. And so, according to Jay, he got a text late on Sunday night asking him to show up to work early the next morning. You can put yourself in his shoes. I've been asked to show up early to work before without any notice. And it's resulted in the same thing as what Jay Gruden heard and what he went through on Monday morning. So 5:30 a.m. Virginia time. The Redskins fired Gruden and decided they were going to go in a different direction. Now, for now, it's Bill Callahan, the former Raiders coach, who is their interim. Gruden actually told ESPN he thought it might happen after the Giants game in week number 4. And as much as he's been on the hot seat, it's a little strange to think about him being the longest tenured head coach under Dan Snyder, who's the owner. None of the other coaches hired by Dan Snyder has ever made it 5 years. Gruden was there 5+ seasons. But there was a disconnect. Jay Gruden didn't have total control over the personnel. He didn't like some of the personnel moves. He didn't like some of the moves that were being made by the president, Bruce Allen, some of the guys they were bringing in. And in addition to that, there have been a ton of injuries. In fact, the numbers are staggering. The past 2 seasons, more than 50 players on injured reserve. Right now, they've got 10 on injured reserve, and they're missing their Pro Bowl tackle, Trent Williams. Jordan Reed, battling concussions, so he has not played. Gruden told ESPN when he landed in Florida on Monday that he was likely going to take off the rest of the year. Redskins are still paying him. But Sean McVay revealed that he and Gruden exchanged texts on Monday. McVay, of course, was with the Redskins 2014 to 2016. So could there be a connection there? Could there be a new opportunity for Gruden in a different capacity in the NFL? We will find out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Man, DC Sports had a little bit of everything on Monday, huh? Jay Gruden gets fired. That news breaks just before 6 o'clock Eastern time on Monday morning. Alex Ovechkin throws out the first pitch, some high heat, at the Nationals game, game 4 hosting the Dodgers. The longest tenured Nat, Ryan Zimmerman, hits a home run that essentially breaks the game open. Pretty incredible atmosphere there at Nationals Park. So DC getting a lot of that spotlight on Monday. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So Bruce Allen, again, the president of the Redskins, who some have rumored, speculated, he could be on his way out the door following Gruden. For now, he's the one who made this choice.
To make a decision like this is a difficult, but it was necessary. Our 0-5 start is not just disappointing. We had much different expectations for this beginning of the season. We owe it to our fans, our millions of fans, not just here in the great nation's capital, but across the world, the organization, the players, the coaches, and their families to do everything we can to win.
I understand the what have you done for me lately concept in professional sports. And I also understand that a lot of times you can't change out the players that quickly. You can't fire players, so to speak. You can some, but it's harder to do in the middle of a season. And of course, if you're paying them buku bucks, to get rid of a player in the middle of a season doesn't do you any good unless they happen to be cheap labor. And so a lot of times it's the coach who bears the brunt. Now, I said this for the last week. I think it's a bad idea to fire a coach in the middle of a season. I don't think it does any good for the locker room or for trying to get your team back on track. And what kind of a head coach are you going to find in October? I mean, there are people who point out that you can get a jump on your head coaching search. You can't talk to coaches right now. You can't talk to coordinators right now. Nobody's leaving their current job to take your job. I'm not even sure that's legal in the NFL. I'll bet it's not. But even so, you have to have permission from a franchise to talk to one of their employees. So what kind of a jump are you going to get by firing your coach in October? And is it going to change all that much with Bill Callahan? Maybe. Maybe it'll be a situation like, we'll use the Browns, for example, because we're going to talk about the Browns more after the break. They fire Hugh Jackson. They promote Greg Williams to interim coach. Now, he had obviously been a head coach before. He's a lifer in the NFL. He's got an intensity and a leadership, whether you like it or not. He's a guy that definitely is an alpha male and will take over. And so they responded to him. Maybe it'll be the same with Bill Callahan. Maybe it won't. But either way, what good does it do the team to make a change like this right now? I've never understood that. And for Callahan, he's got to jump right in with both feet.
This is different territory for me, I got to tell you. Different. But and it's bittersweet in a lot of ways, you know. To replace a veteran coach in Jay, and then to be asked to lead a program now in week six. It's uncharted waters for me, and it's a real privilege and honor for me to lead this team.
So congratulations to Callahan. There aren't that many head coaching jobs in the NFL, and for him to have another opportunity, I get it. It's like taking over when a guy gets injured, suffers a season-ending injury. You feel bad about it. And you feel bad for your friend, in this case, your colleague. But you also know it's an opportunity for you. And so maybe it will be a different attitude with Bill Callahan. Except, according to Redskins insiders that I've talked to, the locker room hadn't given up. This wasn't a case like the Miami Dolphins where you had guys who were asking for trades other than Trent Williams. That I don't think that had anything to do with Jay Gruden. He's just unhappy with his contract. And so Gruden now will have some options himself. Maybe for Gruden, it's better that they fired him now. He was very generous in talking about how grateful he was for his time with the Redskins. And again, the longest tenured head coach in Dan Snyder's reign as the owner. I don't think it's a foreign concept or too far-fetched to say that the issues with the Redskins go farther up the chain than Jay Gruden. I'll use the Browns as an example again. Very often, it's the impatience of the owner. Very often, it's the expectations. Sometimes, expectations that are unrealistic. And yet, because of the money that they're shelling out, they don't want to wait. Maybe this was about Dwayne Haskins wanting him to be out there and to be starting right away, except Dan Snyder's not the one who trains him and coaches him. It's great to be a billionaire. It's great to own an NFL team. But as an owner, you have to be willing to hire people and let those people do the jobs you hired them for. And not every owner is great at that. A lot of you weighing in. Love to hear from you as Redskins fans. I got a bunch of tweets from you during the daytime, so I appreciate that. Your reaction to Jay Gruden getting fired, but also the Cleveland Browns. Now at 2-3, not an insurmountable 5 weeks. Doesn't mean they aren't going to challenge for the AFC North title or have a winning record for the first time since the Romeo Crennel era. None of that is off the table. But has your opinion changed from the start of the year? And we'll get to your calls as well. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
This will be a 3rd and 3 on their 41. They go empty. Baker Mayfield in the shotgun. 3 left, 2 right. He's back. He rolls right. He always rolls right. He breaks a tackle.
Ball!
He lost the ball. And Nick Bosa dove on it.
Boom!
On the Cleveland 28-yard line.
We just
shot herself in the foot too many times, whether it be mental errors, drops, penalties. You know, it's very clear that, you know, we've got to do a better job mentally. We've got to do a better job coaching these guys.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The unmistakable voice of Cleveland Browns head coach Freddie Kitchens, who's also going through this for the first time. He is a rookie. This was a game that couldn't have been more lopsided. And I get it. It's one game. But if you watch this game, you would wonder what in the heck was all the hype about with the Cleveland Browns. There were four turnovers. Four sacks, eight more quarterback hits, and an overwhelming performance by the Niners defensive line, and really the defensive unit as a whole against Baker Mayfield. Even Nick Chubb, who found some room to run, but most of the yards were wasted. Greg Papa with the call on the Niners radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Cleveland got shut out in the second half. So a field goal in the second quarter and did not score the rest of the way. Baker finished 8 of 22. Just so you know, and I only know this because I wrote down the numbers after the first half. He completed one pass in the second half before he was pulled in the fourth quarter. One completion in the second half. Meanwhile, the San Francisco 49ers are running up and down the field like the defense isn't allowed to hit them. 275 rushing yards for the Niners. Garoppolo didn't really have to do a lot of heavy lifting. Instead, it was the defense's turn to flex its muscles and show off. And if you don't remember the history between Baker Mayfield and Nick Bosa, well, it was brought to the forefront there. In the first half, late in the first half, Nick Bosa sacks Baker Mayfield. I mean, he was up in his grill all game long. But then he simulates planting a flag. This Ohio State alum has not forgotten that that's what Baker did. Planted the OU flag at midfield in Columbus, Ohio a couple of years ago. When the Sooners went into the home of Ohio State and upset the Buckeyes. And so Nick Bosa had maybe not the last laugh, but the loud laugh on Monday night.
I was kind of trying to talk. I don't usually talk, but this game, he had it coming. So, but he didn't say one word back. So I don't know. I was just screaming his name like, Baker, Baker, you good? Come on, pick it up. We want to challenge you. Stuff like that.
This was the worst performance for Baker Mayfield as a pro. This is not where his story ends. It's not the last chapter, we don't think. But he was exposed, and you may have heard Greg Papa say on the Niners call, he rolls to the right. He always rolls to the right. I mean, if a member of the media knows that, if a play-by-play announcer knows that, part of the issue is that defensive coordinators know his tendencies. He was overthrowing guys. Now, not all of the turnovers, the mistakes were his fault. He had a ball bounce off the hands of Antonio Callaway, who was just activated following his four-game suspension. The ball hit him in the hands on the goal line. That's not Baker's fault. But you win as a team, you lose as a team. And it was a very subdued Baker Mayfield following this game.
Not doing our job, you know, anytime you stop yourself, which is it seems to be our biggest problem right now. You know, obviously, when you do that against a team that's of that caliber, you're not going to have a lot of success.
Usually it's Baker telling what he calls the haters how he feels, giving them a piece of his mind. I don't know if this is the Baker who woke up feeling dangerous or not, but it is hard to win in the NFL. It's hard to turn a franchise around, and the Browns have their work cut out for them. No one, and I'll underscore that, no one in the NFL is going to hand them a damn thing. They're trying to rebuild a culture. after two seasons that were absolutely abysmal, and really a couple of decades in which they haven't been able to win on a consistent basis, largely because they haven't had a franchise quarterback, but also because they've had so much turnover. General managers, coaches, over and over it feels like. They're constantly changing the nameplates on the office doors. So it takes some time. It takes some consistency. It feels like they have the pieces in place, though that offensive line is still a work in progress. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Richard Sherman has heard all of this as a member of the Niners. He's heard everything that people have to say about the team itself, about how bad they've been. Even paid attention to the preseason predictions and now has a message to those who were the unbelievers, we'll call them.
You don't worry about it. You want idiots to sound like idiots, but you want them to hold their position the whole year. Like don't flip-flop with us. Like if you said we're going to make it, you said we were some way early on, just stick with that position. Hold it. Don't try to give us credit now. Try to give us credit now. Just stick. If you had us ranked 25, keep us ranked 25. If you had us going home early, if you had us going 3-3 and whatever, have us going 3-3 and whatever. You know what I mean? At least stick by your word, because I want you to sound like an idiot at the end. You know, we know we got in the building. We knew the talent that we had. We knew the talent that Kyle and John put together. We knew the defense that Sala ran was effective. Obviously, Kyle has had a ton of success on offense. Hightower does a great job in special teams. We knew the talent and what we could do. We just got to be consistent. You know, you got a young team. It's about teaching them how to win. It's about teaching them how to win in tough games. Like the last game we played was a tough win. You know, you have 5 turnovers. You got to learn how to win those games. That's championship football, learning how to win those games. Then you got to learn how to win these games. Monday night, spotlight. But you don't treat it any different. Every game is a championship game. You don't play up to the competition. You don't play down to it. You show up every week and you execute to the best of your ability. And that's what our team is getting better at. And that's what you appreciate. You can't worry about the outside noise because one day they'll love you, one day they'll hate you, the next week they'll love you again. And then the next week, guess what? They're ready to burn you down and put pitchforks in you. So you can't worry about that. You can't let that dictate your emotion or your mood.
Oh, Richard Sherman, he's highly entertaining, always has a lot to say. I have no idea where the pitchfork part came from. I've never once wanted to stick a pitchfork in anyone. Maybe it's a Halloween thing. Because it is the month of October. So, aren't the Niners where the Browns want to be? Aren't the Niners just farther along in this rebuilding process? We talked about the dismal years for the Niners. Even the beginning of the Kyle Shanahan-John Lynch partnership. Until they got Jimmy Garoppolo, and then he got hurt. And they had to suffer through another year without their franchise quarterback. Another losing record. The Niners are a testament to how long this takes. The Niners are a testament that if you do it right, there is no quick fix. Especially when you've been down for so long. Especially when you had turnover and transition like the Niners have. I mentioned this when we were talking to Cam Inman. They went from Jim Harbaugh to Jim Tomsula to Chip Kelly to Kyle Shanahan in 4 years. They had 4 different head coaches. It's nearly impossible to win that way. You've got to have consistency. You've got to have time. None of this happens overnight. And if it does, it's likely a house of cards or a house built on a sand pile. And so for the Browns, this is a humiliating loss to be sure. But can't they look across the field and see that's where we want to go? And maybe take some hope in the fact that they are where the Niners were a few years ago. And look at them now at 4-0.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It'll be a 1-2 to Cruz. And Chapman's pitch is strike 3. Ball game over. American League Division Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Well, the Yankees sweep 3 straight games from the Twins. The celebration is on, and the Yankees move on ahead to the American League Championship Series against either Tampa or Houston.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's tough sledding for the Minnesota Twins and their fan base against the New York Yankees. And I'm not a big believer that a current franchise or a current makeup of a franchise is destined to repeat the dubious history by a completely different clubhouse and coaching staff. But right now, the Minnesota Twins are stuck in a nightmare full of pinstripes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The final call of the American League Division Series and a sweep for the Yankees with John Sterling on their radio network. And going back to 2003, the Yankees are now 16-2 against the Twins in the playoffs. The last two wins that the Twins managed against the Yanks in the postseason, 03 and 04, and not since then. And it's the last four playoff appearances that the Twins have made that they've run into the Yankees and not managed a game. So we're talking about three losses in 2019 in this division series, the wild card game in 2017, two previous division series before that, all against the Yankees, not one win. And again, this is not Rocco Baldelli. This is not his Twins. It's not Joe Mauer. We're not talking about the same group of guys. But it's the same result. They've got to be able to get over this hump. And really difficult for the Twins when they only managed seven runs in three games against Yankees pitching.
You only get this opportunity a few times. Some people spend their entire life in the game and never get the opportunity to do what we just did. So I do think it's a very special occasion. It's something that we hold dear to our hearts, and it means a lot to everyone in the game. So I'll always think about this series, just like I think about all the other series that I've ever been involved in. You never forget them. And personally, I like to continue to learn and think about things and have conversations and talk things out and get other people's opinions on stuff like this. And this is that's where this falls for me. And I'll probably always be there. I hope I'm always kind of thinking about it like that. But when you look back on it, I mean, we talk about I never second guess anything that we do. You know, we stand by the decisions that we make. And like I said, we just went out there and we were outplayed for three games. And it's okay to acknowledge that, we'll be back.
That's 39-year-old Rocco Baldelli, first-year manager of the Minnesota Twins. They won 100 games but could not get one against the Yankees in the playoffs. But it's a building block. They win the AL Central and they've got some good pieces in place. It's not a quick fix. There's really no such thing as a quick fix in professional sports, not when everybody else is gunning for the same goals as you. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So the first game of the ALCS is set for Saturday. If the Astros advance against the Rays, they will host the opener of the ALCS against the Yankees. But if the Rays somehow come back and upset the Astros, then it will be the Yankees hosting that game one. Either way, the ALCS starts on Saturday evening. And the NLCS starts on Friday evening, even though both of those series is going to a game five on Wednesday. So they've got a much quicker turnaround. Devont is listening in Dallas. Devont, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio. Devont? John is listening in Ohio. John, welcome to After Hours.
Thank you. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about the Browns 49ers game. Kind of disappointed. You know, we did really well last week with the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what, the offensive line penalties Baker's kind of short. I don't trying to throw over big guys and stuff. I don't know. I mean, I called earlier, talked to the Cleveland guys, too, and they said don't get too depressed about the Browns.
Right.
You know, I understand. You know, it's tough to be a Browns fan. I mean, you do good, you do bad. And last year, Baker did decent, but people get, you know, film on them, and they, you know, get a little better, and they know how to, you know, play him and go, have him go to the right, you know, run to the right. And it's just not, I don't know. I'm just get infuriated with it. I don't like it. The offensive line penalties, coaching with Freddie Kitchens kind of early, but I don't like coordinators being transferred to the head coaches. I'd never liked that at all. We've had so many like that, and it just doesn't work out. And like you say, it's hard to keep a transition with different, you know, our team just changes, owners, coaches, players. I mean, it's just in and out. Tough to be a fan for the Browns, you know. So I'm just, you know, I'm a Cavs fan, and they suck right now, too. And the Indians weren't in the playoffs. So you got kind of a tough thing with Cleveland.
Well, however, though, it's not been that long that the Cavs were celebrating an NBA title, their first, and the Indians were in the World Series. So I get that it's frustrating right now, but I would say the Browns are on their way up. I don't know how the rest of the season goes, but just as you're talking about how defenses can adjust to Baker, Baker seems to be a smart guy. Can't Baker adjust and improve his game? Stop rolling out to the right? You know, maybe change some of those tendencies. He's got to take better care of the football. Turnovers have been a major issue for him and for the Browns to start, though not all of them were his fault on Monday night, but he's got to take care of the football. And he's got to know when to get rid of it, too, and know when to not try to extend a play that isn't worth saving. This was a brutal game for him. One completed pass in the second half, I get it. The offensive line got dominated by that defensive front of the Niners. It was a really bad matchup, and he didn't get a ton of help from the guys that were around him. But if he is the quarterback, he is the leader, and that means that he's responsible for how this offense looks. So I think they're in the beginning of the process. I don't think you should give up on them. I hope that you don't. I don't think this is a flash in the pan. John Dorsey's brought in some really smart people and some, I think, some guys that just need some time. They need to spend some time together. They need to grow up a little bit together. And definitely the offensive line needs a couple more horses on it. Horses.
All right. Yeah, we need a little bit more of some pieces for sure in the offensive line. But defense, too, we got some guys. We traded for some guys.
Right.
They're not really performing. Myles Garrett seems like he's kind of on off for a number one pick. He's supposed to be kind of like a Aaron Donald type. He's wanted to be the defensive player of the year, and he's not really kind of average right now, so I don't know.
I feel like he's a really good pass rusher, but you can't do it all by yourself. They've got to be able to stop the run. I mean, they were knifed up by the run game of the San Francisco 49ers, but honestly, they were also at a major disadvantage because the Niners were controlling the ball, and you know, by the time you get to the second half, these defensive guys for the Browns are worn out because they're on the field so much, and I mean, it was a really bad matchup. It was just a really difficult matchup for the Browns, and the Niners had 2 weeks to prepare. That's the other part of this. They were coming off a bye.
Yeah, we got some tough games, though, coming up through the next few weeks, too,
yes.
So it's not going to be as easy as people say, you know, quick fix, and we'll go 6-3 or, you know, 7-3 or whatever. You got some tough teams coming up.
Very.
And they could go 2-7 or 2-8. I mean, it's just going to go up and down. I mean,
I wouldn't think too far ahead. I'd just worry about the next one.
Seattle, that's going to be kind of tough. So from them coming to the West Coast, the East Coast, it's still going to be tougher because they've had time to rest and watch the Browns too, you know, with that and watching how they just 49ers just took them and they're in the same division. So, I mean, you know,
agreed.
The 49ers wanted us, the Browns, to beat them. So,
I mean, it could be some tough sledding, but I don't think that the season is over. I mean, I think that they still have a great opportunity to win the AFC North and to make the playoffs. But it's a steep learning curve, and it always is for a franchise that has been down and not part of it for so long. I appreciate your phone call, John. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Let's talk to Mary Ellen, who's in Virginia. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Lynn, we have gone through a roller coaster in D.C. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
With the Redskins and the Nats.
Right.
We've gone through highs with the Nats tonight, with lows this morning. Because I was up at 5:30 this morning when they got the news.
Mm-hmm.
So
it actually happened at 5:54 a.m. Eastern time.
Well, whenever it happened, it was early, and it was. You know, we kind of expected it, but then you don't. You know, you always like they're still shocked by when it still happens. So, it just stinks because we, you know, this is very storied, the history of this franchise has been incredible with our three Super Bowls,
mm-hmm.
everything, and what Dan Snyder's done to this team is just disgusting, and now we're going further down, and we're going to have to go further down, you know, with an interim coach and everything else. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
It might, but maybe not. Maybe Bill Callahan is the steadying force. I mean, he's kind of an even keel type of a personality, and he's going to have the job of taking over as the leader. And I don't think the locker room has given up. I mean, that's not what I've heard, that they're still very much wanting to win. They're frustrated, but they're not throwing in the towel. I don't know what happens with the quarterback situation. It's obviously a difficult one. It's the most important position on the field. And so that one's really a head scratcher. What are they going to do moving forward? But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, they've got to find the right leadership, and it could get worse before it gets better. If you have something else really quick to say, otherwise I have to let you go because we're at the top of the hour. Oh, okay. Bye, Mary Ellen. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we had to let you go, but there's the music. And the music doesn't even wait for me. In fact, the music gets louder and louder toward the end. And then if I don't stop talking, the music and the technology just cuts me off. That's it. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then also on our Facebook page. What do you think of the Browns now? It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.